And it's Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And we are graced again with Cheryl Brightman, who is, wow, what do we really say about Cheryl Brightman? She's written a book. We should talk about that.
Thank you.
But you've also are an Akashic Records reader, but you kind of, I don't know how much you do that. I mean, you sort of just are just connected.
I think
you're just connected.
That's what it's like, being connected and walking around as a soul in a human body, building up life and contributing your soul's purpose and bringing it forward and being the best that you can be.
Yeah, that is what it's all about, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to just chat and talk about a few different things. Do you want to talk about your book?
Absolutely. Whatever. I'm open.
Okay, well, why don't we talk about your book for a bit, and then we're going to possibly talk about relationships, because we've had this little interesting discussion, and it could be a good talk, because I think there's a few people, since typically I tend to connect a lot with women that are in relationships and wanting assistance, so this might be a good topic for this session. But why don't you talk about your book? What's it called?
Okay. It's called The Akashic Record, Your Soul Welcomes You Back Home. And it was written with the intention for a lot of people who are coming to me and wanted to learn more about themselves and how to connect to themselves more and learn about themselves and love themselves and discover how any kind of influence in their life is affecting them in their present day life, negatively or positively. So it's not only just a book, it's also a journal, and it's got a lot of questions in there and a lot of tools to help you connect. And it was a pleasure and an honor to write it, and I look forward to the second book.
Ah, is there a second book coming?
There is.
And what, do you know what it's called?
I don't know what it's called, but it's going to be about my journey into this. And also another workbook involved in that, where other people will take you step by step and hear my story and help you uncover and reveal your story to become clearer on who you are and to live your soul's life.
Hmm. And so how does the Akashic Record, I guess, assist people to live that soul purpose or that life that is, you know, their soul yearns to connect with?
Well, it's actually the energy recording of your soul's journey from its inception forward. So it's like having a journal to who you are and everything you've experienced. And it gives you a clear indication of why you're living the life you are, all the emotions and experiences, and how to create from who you are. So your soul knows best the journey that it's meant to take. So it will lead you to the experiences and bring up all the emotions and thoughts in your memories to help you recreate that situation in a more loving and gentle way that will inspire others and light them up and lift up the consciousness of the world.
Mm-hmm. And so it's our own personal journey that is really past, present, and future, correct?
All in one. When you are living your life now, you are living your life based on your past. In the present moment, and in the present moment, you're actually creating the future. So we call it cause and effect. Whatever you create, there's going to be effect or a consequence. So wouldn't it be nice to take a moment or two and sit down and sit there and say to yourself, hey, I'm in this situation, you know, let's talk about what happened before and let's talk about what I'm experiencing now and how I can create it the way that it's meant to be for the highest good of all. And then you go out and you do it.
What if we don't know what's the highest good for all? Or do we just put it in that wording so that it is for the highest good for all?
I like to put it in the wording. What's in the best interest of everyone involved, the highest good of all? How can we resolve this in the best way possible? And leave yourself open, because if you're asking that question saying, but I really want it to turn out the way that I want it to turn out. You're not really asking for the highest good of all. You really got a little snippet of, I really want it to turn out the way I want it, so please tell me what I want to hear.
Right. Yeah, I think we do a lot of that. Not sure, but I'm thinking that that's probably something that happens quite frequently.
I'm included in that.
It's kind of hard to, I guess, to stay open all the time and just, you know, not have an attachment to how you would like to see it happen or how you would. And I know that, you know, they always say if you, you know, remain open, you can get far more than you have ever dreamed possible. Instead of limiting it by saying, well, I'd really like it to work this way.
Right. And if we may, can we go into that word open for a minute?
Sure.
I like the energy of the Akashic Record because it is my soul's energy. It's a recording of all the world, yet I tap into my soul spark. So I'm in my energy. So I like to say more connected. However, when you're open and you leave yourself open to everyone and everything, are you really sure if you're working or living or breathing your own energy or all the external influences? Are you taking on everyone's stuff? Are you feeling everything that everyone is feeling? It's really important that we connect to who we are and all the guidance that we have available to us and stay in our own energy. Because when you really look at someone, what they say to you, if they're angry or something, is picture them screaming in a mirror. It's not for you. Don't take it on. Listen and learn and love them. Yet that's their energy and that journey. Your journey might be to just sit there and listen to them or say, you know, are you really listening to yourself? So the difference between being open and connected, for me, there's a different vibration. To just say, I'm open, it's like, woohoo, everybody, I'm here. To say, I'm connected to who I am and all that I am, is to be inside oneself and connected to the outside world, but not living with all the bombardment of everything that is in the energetic world.
Well, that's an interesting way of putting it, and I don't know that I would. I certainly have been the other as well. But I think when I say that I mean, you know, fully connected and fully without the, I think the shields that we tend to put around us that sort of block our connection. And that's when we feel so much discomfort or pain. I know I've been talking about this a lot, but you know, what Eckhart Tolle and Oprah have been doing with, you know, A New Earth, and how that is really, you know, beginning to shift the planet, you know, in such a way that is allowing people to wake up. And I think it's just an incredible time right now for humanity and for the planet, and how we're shifting so dramatically, and that allowing ourselves to be more present or more in the now, and maybe learning to, you know, become aware of our attachments and those things that are blocking us from moving forward. And, you know, we obviously, the journey is within. That's really where the first connection has to take place. And when we talk about relationships, we'll get into, you know, how does typically one learns a great deal from being in a relationship, because it is that mirror right in front of you. And so you really have no opportunity but to grow, unless you stay stagnant and you just get caught up in your ego and your pain body. But it is quite the journey to, you know, remove all of those things that are blocking the energy from flowing into you so that you can have that connection. And most of it is from being, you know, really present and really being now, and not having our head, you know, telling us different things, because it's the ego, the pain body, the mind that tends to want to take control over what we're thinking.
And firstly, yes, definitely hats off and kudos to Oprah and Eckhart, because I mean, you just want to stand up and give them an ovation, because that is what we are all trying to do.
Uh-huh.
And when the journey starts inside in your inner relationship, right? Like I said before, if somebody, you're having a hard time in a relationship and you're having a reaction, that is for you to learn that that is for you to deal with.
Yeah.
If the other person is having a reaction, that's an opportunity for you to help the other person to grow, because we grow together. We grow together. In relationships, that's what it is. First, it starts with you, and you understand how you're going to react or where your life comes from, and to uncover it and take those shields apart. And actually, the closer you get to the truth, the scarier it becomes, because you're becoming very vulnerable. You're really seeing who you are. Yet I always say, go through that vulnerability, because there's strength in that, because you step into knowing who you are and how to handle situations, and you learn so much more.
Yeah, I totally say that your vulnerability is your greatest strength, because it is what allows you to open or be connected, because that's what's... It feels like it's a weakness, and certainly our society has treated it as a weakness, but it is completely our greatest strength, because our heart, as much as society has made us believe can be broken, it can't be broken. I mean, it's the purest part. That's where, well, that's, and it's funny, because lately there's been a bunch of different people that, you know, say our spirit or our soul or our essence is in different places. And some people say it's in the heart, and some people say it's in the solar plexus, and some people say it's in your third eye. And I guess it's really where you connect with it. And it doesn't matter where it is. To me, I talk a lot about the heart, because that's kind of who I am, I guess. And to me, that's where it is connected. So when I think of a broken heart, like, that's not possible, because that is where our soul is. That is where my spirit is, and that there's nothing in there that could possibly be broken, for it's perfect and whole and everything.
Yes, your soul, the energy, is perfect and whole, yet our physical body and the shields around us and the webs of life and the energetic and universal forces, our soul is always vibrating, and those external and internal energies make our soul sort of, you know, seem wobbly at time, or can't really connect or hurt. Or if your heart is, as they say, broken and not pumping as normal or feels low, it's more difficult for your soul to come through that energy. Right? Because it's where your cellular structure is throughout your body, and the blood flows in your fluid of life. And that's where the energy vibrates to and comes through you. So wherever you feel it is true, yet we have to clear all this stuff so our soul in its perfection can come through and speak to you more clearly and show you more clearly and connect with you more clearly. So the physical and the spirit aligns, and we are living, as they say, one. Our spirit and physical aligns in that perfection.
And it really is about opening up all the boundaries and not seeing our spiritual life as one separate place and our physical as one other separate place. And it's really about learning how to bring those in alignment so that you can be.
So you can be who you are. And you're absolutely correct. Your rational mind is meant to help your spirit, your soul, navigate and create in life. So for instance, I say to people, if you receive a message saying open a healing center, well, maybe learn a little more. Are you able to? Do you have a family now? Do you have the funding? Is it just like hanging a sign out and letting people know that you're there? Learn a little more about what you're receiving and when you're going to be able to physically align with that, because that's perfection. When everything aligns, that's perfection.
It's true. There are a lot of people that get great ideas, and they may be divinely given, but you know, a lot of times I would never tell somebody to leave anymore. I mean, you know, there was a time it's like, oh no, you have to follow your heart. No, well, you have to follow your heart, but you need to make sure that everything's in alignment so that you can follow your heart.
Right. And that you're safe and secure because you're so important into the web of life. None of us can be who we are without the other. No one. Even if you sit in a house alone and you think you're alone, you're not. Somebody built that house. Somebody came out with the house plans. If you needed a mortgage, the mortgage was there. Somebody is turning the lights on for you, making sure the water is there. The streets were built. The world was created. We need each other. And not in a needy way. We just need to recognize that everybody in life has purpose. And we need them. And we need each other. And we all bring something together. And that's really what is the great part about a relationship. Understanding that what you bring is so worthwhile. And what I bring is so worthwhile. And everybody else, what they bring is so worthwhile. We just need to be more connected and aligned to that. And we'll all work together then.
Mm-hmm. It makes me think, I mean, and we talked, I remember there was a talk with Eckhart when he talked about, you know, some emotions being, you know, very legitimate, like grief, you know, if somebody passes or, you know, if a relationship ends, you know, there's a grief, there's a sadness. And then there's also the part where your ego sort of takes over and it sort of replays all the patterns in your life and you go through your own, you know, pain body or your emotional problems with regards to that. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are making choices right now about, you know, what is important and what is for now. And I think, you know, a lot of people get caught up in the what ifs or, you know, what could have been or, and so they make it much more difficult when they need, when a relationship is over or when, you know, when it's not going in the direction that it could have. But yet, how do you let go of those could haves, would haves, should haves, and, you know, really allow who you are to shine through and that's really all you need to work on, you know, regardless of what is going on, really the most important and the only important thing is you shining your light that is pure and whole without all of the baggage and the ego and the stuff that can, could, would, should interfere.
Well, that's one of the few places that Eckhart and I disagree on, because I believe that every emotion, everything that you feel is valid. Because it comes from within you and you're experiencing it. I can speak because in November I lost two friends and my dad all at the same time. And what I learned is everything that I'm experiencing is correct. And the best way to start to get through something is to start saying, I accept. Mm-hmm. I accept this. So you start to bring it in your consciousness and start to feel it. And it becomes reality. I accept that this relationship is over. I accept that I'm feeling grief. I accept that I just ate a tub of Ben and Jerry's chocolate monkey. I accept that I just went shopping for grief therapy. So you start to say, I accept these things and start to see them and feel them. And then you sit down and say, wow, this is the way that I handle my emotions. How come? And you start to learn more about yourself. And when you recognize and accept, that's when you're able to say, oh, I'm going to change that.
Hmm.
And then
because
the work is still
there.
It's in your awareness and you're recognizing it. And that is one of the few ways for myself personally, I found his work. I accept that the subway is late and I'm going to be late for this appointment unless I do something different. Right? Can I hop in a cab? Can I call and change the appointment? But until I accept it, nothing else is going to be sparked. Is there something else I can do?
Right. Right. So for those people, though, that are stuck in not being able to let go of, you know, the would've, could've, should'ves.
There's no acceptance. Mm. I accept that I don't have enough money to go buy groceries. Once you accept that, gives you the opportunity to look for other ways. I accept that I'm living in my house alone and my husband of 30 years has passed. gives you the opportunity to say, I accept that I'm alone. Do I want to be, or can I go out and meet new people now? I accept that I'm going to have my bad days, and this is one of them. Do I want to go out and be with friends? Is that a better way to get through my bad day, or to be alone? And once you accept it and recognize it, you can see if the way that you're living is serving you or not. Are you happy? Are you fulfilling your purpose? And then receive the guidance on how to move through it. How better to handle this? How best to do this? It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful life out there with things that we have learned that are bad. Somebody dies, that's bad. You know what? It doesn't feel so great, let me say. However, it is a part of life. And until you accept your life and the things that go with life, are you unable to change life? So once you accept the life and these are part of your life and life itself, then you can see where change needs to happen and make the change.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, we're just living in that great place of denial.
Yeah. So what do you think then, you know, and I don't know that you were, I think Eckhart and you were right in that that is his first thing is accept where you are. That's the first thing you have to do. So I don't think you're out of alignment there. But what do you think when people say, if you can, you know, heal all of your stuff and it no longer, you're no longer reacting and you can love someone unconditionally, then would that person, would not anybody be a person that could be in a relationship with you?
Well, this is the great question. You can be in a relationship with anybody, and you're in a relationship with many more people than you actually realize in one given moment. When you don't react to something anymore, like really don't react to it, and you can put love in there, that's healed. However, we are so limitless. How much more can we heal? How much more can we love? How many more relationships can we have? If you actually don't react to somebody, say for instance, somebody has always irritated you, and you can look at that person now, no matter what they say, and really feel a connected love to them, that part is healed. Yet, I believe that we're limitless. And not to stop, we have so much more. Imagine if you keep going through everything, how high we can go, how much love we can create, the kind of world that we can leave for our children, how much better Mother Earth is. I totally agree. If you don't react, you feel that. Yet keep going. There's so much more love, so much more beyond our conscious awareness. So let's just keep going and uncover it. Let's go as far as we can.
And how do you know how far that is?
You don't, because it's limitless and it's beyond what you can imagine. Like we were talking about a relationship, and I suggest to people, why don't you sit down and actually connect inside and say, wow, show me the kind of relationship that I need. Open up to something you don't know, that your mind cannot even fathom, and allow the greatness of the wisdom of the universe to show you what can be. That's inspiration. That's amazing. And then go for that. Go for what the universe wants you to have instead of what you know or what life has taught you. Open up.
And so what do you think relationships are for within the human experience?
Oh, gosh, to create love. To create love, to help each other, to grow. You have a relationship with yourself. You have a relationship with everybody. And if you actually look in the eyes of everyone, you will see that they are you. If you share your life with somebody across from you, you will connect to something. There is something that the two of you share that you can help each other through and open up to and learn from. So I believe in the purpose that we were created to share our love and to love each other. And to me, that's why we're all here.
In the human experience, that's why we're here.
In the human experience. We're here to recognize each other and say, hey, neighbor, wow, I recognize you. Oh, do you need help with that gardening? Great. I actually can help you with that. Let's do that. And we're here to help each other. That's what we're here for. Not give ourselves away, not sacrifice ourselves for another. Remember, everybody is pertinent. One person cannot be who they fully are meant to be if somebody sacrifices themselves. Don't give up who you are. Bring who you are into the mix, into the relationship.
How do people know when they're sacrificing who they are?
Because you'll feel empty, you'll feel bitter, you'll feel resentment, you'll feel like you've given too much. You feel like you're not being who you are, you've lost something. All those things will tell you, you are not being who you are, you're not filling yourself up. You've given too much, now you need to receive. It's a balance.
And I think that's probably one of the biggest problems within our society is that, you know, we give. We've all given, and most of the time we don't know how to receive.
Right. This is a big gift. Being who you are and your soul and everyone in life, receiving all that is a big gift. And sometimes we get scared because we don't understand what we've been given or what's created or how to handle it. Yet to receive, I mean, women do it naturally when they get pregnant, right? And men, you know, do it naturally. However, to receive from another human being, to actually look at someone in the eye and say, all that I am is right in front of you. Receive all that I am, the positive and the negative, to receive it and actually feel like you're being seen and received on every level, not judged and not rejected because you don't know how to bake chocolate chip cookies or you had a bad day, yet to be received on every level makes a person feel whole and perfect and allows them to be who they are. Or as we like to say, they feel safe to be who they are.
Hmm. And so how does this relate into your second book?
Well, it's a journey. And when I came in to the world, I grew up in an area where, you know, Jane and Finch area. Hmm. And I grew up, you know, as one of the few single Jewish white women in the area. And I had to learn that life is not about hate and rejection and all these things, and that all the beliefs I've always felt as a little girl, that life is about love and we're meant to love each other, really exist, and that God is everywhere. And I am meant to help you. That my journey into this great love, it just overwhelms me. And that's my journey, learning about why the experience happened, the gifts involved, how to find those gifts through the darkness, and what it means to go into place of dark. For me myself, if I may share, I know when I'm looking at a situation and I see a black cloud over it, I know one for myself, it's a lesson. And it's going to require my strength to go through it. So it might not be the easiest road, yet I ask, what will the gift be from that? And if it's something that I want to invest in, I go through it. So I've learned not to be afraid of all the dark, all the hate, all the blame, all the shame, and to see that everyone in the world really just wants to be loved. Mm-hmm. Everyone. And I wouldn't trade that journey for anyone or anything. I'm so grateful for it now, and it's taken me 45 years. So I'd like to write about that and share how this gift of being connected helped me through it.
Hmm. And how did it help you through it?
It being connected gave me the guidance I needed to move through, to see beyond what people were showing me and know what the truth is. It allowed me to understand that who I am has a purpose, and my strengths and my weaknesses actually serve me, and how they can serve me and how they can serve other. So that's.
And so you look at your weaknesses and you embrace them?
I totally embrace them. I know that when I get really tired that I want a Cadbury's chocolate bar and I want to be alone for an hour, and I embrace that. You know, and then when I started putting on weight, I thought, okay, I need to change that. So it's embracing your weaknesses and knowing that that actually was a weakness of mine, because I was relying on the chocolate to make my life sweeter instead of making it sweeter in a healthier way. So now when I feel like that, I actually go home and I watch Sex and the City or I go out for a walk with a friend, which is healthier for me and help me to eat better and lose some weight.
So when
gotta be me.
So when you see a weakness, you don't go, okay, so how can I turn this into, or how do I see my addiction and allow it to, you know, how do I get my ego out of this so that I can, you know, replace it, or the awareness so that I can, you know, make it into something different?
Well, first I'll experience it. You want to experience it to know how it serves you and where it came from and how it was created and the patterns and everything around it and how it's affecting you in life. So it always serves you to go through what you're meant to go through and then decide. Then decide what you're going to do with it.
I see. So chocolate, Cadbury, what?
Well, actually, I haven't had any in a month. I still know it's a weakness of mine, so I have to be careful.
Yeah, we have. It's amazing how we can have those, isn't it?
And they're beautiful because they're who you are. So just find out if it serves you or not, and what you're meant to do.
Well, I think also it's being aware of what it is that triggered that emotional response that makes you want to have, you know, the ice cream or the chocolate or, you know, whatever it is that makes you feel sweet.
And right. And actually, as you're saying that now, a memory is being brought to mind where I went to the hospital to get stitches. Mm-hmm. And my brother, who threw the rock at my head, received a chocolate bar. And I wasn't offered a chocolate bar. So Spirit's reminding me that I never thought that I deserved that. So I would feed it to me all the time when I wasn't feeling good to comfort myself.
Wow.
And that's my memory, and I can feel it releasing now. Thank you. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
Yeah. Life is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a unique opportunity. And I think we make it so serious. And I know that, you know, there are times when it feels very serious and very heavy and very challenging, or, you know, and sometimes you just go, you know, I'm so tired of growing that I just want to stop now, even though you know that that's not a possibility and it's not an option.
It actually is. Whatever you say, you will receive. Whatever you ask for, you will receive. You will plant that seed and it will come to fruition. See how I'm getting serious? Make no mistake, ask and you shall receive.
Except I know that that's not really what I want, but yes. But there are times when you think, wow, you know what? I would not wish this journey on anybody. Although it's getting much easier these days, because I think there's so much more awareness out there, and I think there's so many more people that are waking up, that the energy, as much as the duality is still present, and, you know, which means there's a heaviness that is getting heavier, but when you don't really connect in with that, and you connect in with the lightness of, you know, who you are, and that the beauty of, you know, what we are, it allows us to, because I won't have a TV in my house, and I won't watch TV, and I won't listen to the news, and I won't get newspapers, because I don't need that energy within me, because I think it's such a, the media really tries to control what we feel by a lot of the front page news that is out there. And if you don't buy into that and you don't really feel that that's part of your reality, it can make life a lot easier.
Again, this is where I have a different philosophy, because it's accepting that actually is going on in the world, everything. And you're right, that's what the media's role is, to make you live through your emotions and emote you. However, when you live in your rational mind as well and you accept what's going on, you learn from it. I mean, TV and the movies now, and it's exciting because they're using all the spiritual world. Mm. They're bringing in the messages.
Oh, I watch movies.
And just like Eckhart and Oprah, they're actually teaching you and giving you tools to live a better life, to manage the heaviness or the darkness and the grief. And that's what it's about, not running away from it, but actually looking at it and saying, wow, I recognize this. I'm going to learn how to handle this in a better way, and then share that with others so others can handle it. And, you know, one day I hope all that stuff is eradicated from life. That's always been my dream of doing this, is that every single person on the face of the planet knows that they are loved. I would leave one happy person knowing that everybody knows that they are loved.
That's a big order.
It is. I'm willing to stay around to fill it, though.
Really?
I am.
Wow. You're part of the Bodhisattva? What?
I'm here to help, and that would be a great honor to be able to reflect back to somebody that they are love. It's a great gift.
It is a great gift. It's a great gift. Is there anything you would like to talk about?
I have a feeling that if people really take a moment and take a breath and release the energy out through their heart, they'll be able to clear out all the memories that don't serve them anymore. It's like clearing your heart and seeing an old chair that's stuck there or an old memory, and just say, I accept that this was a part of me, and now it's time to let it go. And however it happens, I'm okay, because I know that it's going to be filled with something greater than I am aware of. And to breathe that in and bring it, and know that in life, time is actually a gift, because it allows clarity to form. It allows things to unfold. So take your time and feel your skin and think about your thoughts and look at other people and see their beauty and see how you can help and what you really want to commit to and be who you are, because that's the greatest journey of all. I mean, nothing makes a parent prouder than to see their child happy and living a great life. And that's all we should ever want for each other. And that's basically the bottom line. So I'm not sure if that was something that I wanted to talk about or felt I wanted to say to everyone, to recognize that in themselves and about everyone else in their life. Everyone has a path and a purpose, whether it's a long time with you or a short time with you. Be grateful for the time you have and let it pass if it needs to, because it will unfold the way it's meant to.
Very wise. As difficult as that sometimes can be.
Yes, I understand.
You just enjoy the moments that you have and be only concerned with your own growth and development.
Yeah. When I get frustrated, I use the term God. I say to God, okay, I'm trusting that you're taking care of this. So guide me on how to take care of this on my end. How can I help? What do I need to do? And then I trust that it's being taken care of, and I take my time and I feel it. And when I need to panic, I call my friends. Because they have great wisdom. They have great wisdom. Everyone does. And it's worth getting to know. And everybody's worth loving.
Definitely. All right. Cheryl, how can people get a hold of you?
They can go to my website at www.wisdomcenter.com. domsway.ca.
So Wisdom's Way.
Or email me Cheryl, Cheryl, at wisdomsway.ca. It's actually the best way because the communication's open 24 hours a day then. When I'm with people, the phone goes off.
Right. Yes. All right. Well, thank you very much. And we'll have you back again. I'm sure we'll find an interesting topic that we can discuss once again.
Oh, thank you. It's such an honor every single time, Laurie. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. All right.